from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney. Still with Vinny Serrato, Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. We're going until 2 o'clock right here on The Fan. Joining us now from the Baltimore Banner, she covers the Baltimore Ravens, is Gianna Hahn. Gianna, what's going on?
Not much. Just thinking about some training camp storylines before I take some vacation.
Yeah, and I one of them, I guess, is we've been talking a little bit about Rashad Bateman to this point, and the Ravens have really, you know, they spent a lot of time, especially at the start of the offseason, talking Rashad Bateman up and saying that this was going to be the year of Bateman. And I know it hasn't been a huge sample size to this point, and we're still getting ready to go to training camp, but from what you've seen, have you seen, you know, what you've seen on the field, does that kind of imitate what they've said about this being Rashad Bateman's kind of breakout year for the Ravens?
Yeah, I think he looked pretty good. He was, you know, getting open, which is what he does. He caught some deep balls. And I know you and I have discussed this at OTAs, but the problem there was a lot of them weren't thrown by Lamar. And so the number one thing that was a problem for him last year was his connection with Lamar specifically. So it's good to see he can catch the deep balls, but if it's from Josh Johnson, I don't know how much that means when it comes to the chemistry. And then something else that my colleague Jenna Schaefer found when he broke Rashad Bateman's game down is that part of why he didn't get so many throws to him was because he was not at the top of Lamar Jackson's read. So I think a lot of this will come just schematically if they're telling him and, like, this is Rashad's year, look to Rashad first or second, then it's more likely that we'll see him get more throws, which then would lead to a better year. But I think just from his part, he was at almost everything. He looked fast. He looked like he was running his routes cleanly. So it feels like, from what we can tell, he did his part.
Now, Gianna, you know, you go back to that. I go back to the Kansas City game because you talk about, you know, him being targeted. Kansas City game, he's got the, on the interception play, he's got the fade route. He's got press coverage. He's got his guy beat, and he's the number one read. And Lamar looks him off and then throws it down in the middle of the field to Likely and gets intercepted with three guys around him. I mean, that told me a lot, because if you're even, you're leaving. You got to give him a chance to go get it.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously they'll never say, you know, I have a problem with this guy or that guy. And I don't honestly think they have a problem with each other, but we did notice that Lamar was like, if you want to come work out with me, come to Florida. And everyone, it might not have been, but everyone took it as like, hey, Rashad, if you want to work out, like, come to Florida. So I don't really know, especially when they're giving more of the offense to Lamar, more control of it. I don't know if there's something else there that's leading to this, but you're right. Like, Rashad has been open multiple times and they just aren't giving it to him. And when they do, I think he has like one of the lowest rates of catchable balls thrown to him.
We're talking to Gianna Hahn from the Baltimore Banner. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Gianna, has been a lot of turnover on the defensive side of the ball. New defensive coordinators in Zach Orr, who was already a part of this team both on the field and on the sidelines. But they've lost some players that were key contributors to their success last year. What are your expectations for this defense going into this season?
You want to know, I think it's really interesting. I was just talking about this with some Banner people, is that for as much turnover as there's been, the lineup is very set. There aren't that many battles happening, and most of them are like on the depth side. So, for example, you have Marcus Williams and Kyle Hamilton at safety, and the battle is going to be who's the third safety. You have pretty set cornerbacks, and the battle is going to be probably who the fourth and fifth ones are, not who the top three are. It's Trenton Simpson's spot to lose to replace Patrick Queen. Then they brought in Aditha Isaac. They're hoping David Ojabo is coming back. So then that fills in for Clowney, maybe not equally, but they're pretty set in their lineup. And I think, I don't know that they're going to be the absolutely historic defense that they were last year, but at the same time, I think they'll be pretty solid. And the other challenge that might make them not seem as solid as they might be is that they're going up against some of the best teams in the entire league to start off the season. I think they have, what, 3 out of 4 games are division winners, or yeah, it's division leaders from last year. So they might have to really find their footing fast, but I think they have the potential. What's scary is just that it's a lot of young guys that we don't know much about.
Now, Gianna, Queen, for his, what, 4 or 5 years or whatever, had basically 100 tackles every year. He had 98 the 1 year. So he had 100 tackles every year. What would be an acceptable season for Trenton Simpson this year, tackle-wise?
You know, I don't think you necessarily need 100 for him, because I also don't know enough about him to say that he can play every snap like Patrick did. Because part of that was because Patrick was good. Part of it was because he was sturdy, he was out there every single snap. I think, like, the least amount of snaps he played was probably in the 80%. If they're feeling his way, if he gets out there, I would like to see, maybe let's go with that 80 number. But there is a possibility that they have other people rotating in there as he, you know, finds his way, if he's not necessarily quite as, doesn't have the stamina that Patrick does out there. But yeah, that's a hard thing to say, because, you know, maybe Roquan in this role will take on more, and that doesn't mean that, you know, Trenton isn't doing well, but I think that he should get up to, I don't know, is 80 sound like the right number? I'm kind of just pulling that number out of there, but I don't want to expect him to do the exact same thing that Patrick did, and I wouldn't call him a failure if he didn't.
Gianna, really appreciate your time. Great stuff as always. Appreciate you making some time for us today. We'll talk again down the line.
Enjoy your vacation, Gianna.
I will. Thank you.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get to the whip around, see what went on in the world of sports last night. Did the Yankees bounce back? Got news for you. It's looking like the Yankees are in a tough stretch right now. We'll look at them and some other teams in Major League Baseball next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Cordell Woodland in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Joining us now from NFL Radio is Vic Carucci. Vic, how you doing?
I am great, guys. It's wonderful to be with you, and I wish you all a happy 4th.
Same to you as well. And Vic, we've been talking a little bit today about some of the comments that Mark Shalaev had to say on his Stinking Truth podcast about the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. And he's tired of the excuses. He's tired of this team not reaching their full potential in the postseason. And he's talked about, you know, how people complain about their lack of weapons, and he feels like they've had plenty during Lamar's time. How do you look at the Ravens during this Lamar era, and is it put up or shut up time for you when it comes to the Ravens?
Well, I don't know about the shut up part. I mean, the put up part is always there, but when you look at it, I would say if you're looking at this short list of teams in the AFC that have dynamic, outstanding franchise quarterbacks, that have a guy that can, you know, have that has the capability of taking them the distance and winning it all, the Ravens are one of those teams. And they're one of those teams because of Lamar Jackson and getting that contract resolved with him before last season to make sure and ensure that there would be an additional window to take advantage of his presence on that roster says that, and rightfully so. There's nothing to second guess there. They have a great quarterback. Has he not, you know, is he culpable for some of their falling short along the way? Absolutely, but not in my mind, not so much that I'm going to say, oh yeah, that if it doesn't work out with Lamar Jackson, when I say work out, doesn't they don't get a Super Bowl, either get there or win it all this year, then it's the shut up time. No, I think the put up is there, but it's there for just as it continues to be for Patrick Mahomes, and he has put it up for Josh Allen. There's another guy who very similarly falls into the same category as Jackson. For Joe Burrow, falls into that same category, and that's what I mean by this, you know, short list of unbelievable quarterbacks, with Lamar and you know, Josh having kind of the run skill that surpassed what Mahomes has. But then you look at Joe Burrow, and he's sort of the latter day Peyton Manning, right? I mean, more of that pocket guy, but still extraordinary in what he does.
Hey, Vic, let me just say, your show on Saturday, must listen. NFL radio. And what noon is it, Vic?
We're on from in the off season 10 a.m. Until 2 p.m.
Okay, 10 to 2. Yeah, because I catch it a lot. So, Vic, let me ask you this now. Buffalo, they don't seem like they have the buzz. Like, who are the receivers? Are they gonna? It seems like they've lost players. There's buzz about the Jets. Buzz about Miami. Talk to me about your feeling, because you live in Buffalo. Talk to me what you think of the Bills.
Yeah, I do think that there is potential here, Vinny, for if not a full backward step, then at least a half back step, because you don't say goodbye to your top two receivers, both intentionally, but one in free agency with Gabe Davis, but trading away Stephon Diggs. And take the hit that they did to do it. I mean, they're paying more cap money to not have him on the team with dead cap than to have him. So they really wanted to move on from him. I would say that for those who say, okay, good riddance, who thought he was, you know, too much of a malcontent, you're still losing a significant chunk of your offense, and you just don't say, oh yeah, we'll get that back. They've got a committee of receivers now, Vinny, as you know. And the names like, you know, Chase Claypool and Valdez-Scanlon and Samuel, who of course had some time with Commanders, former Panther. They're names that you recognize, but do they make up and then drafting Keon Coleman as their top overall pick, but on the second round? None of that adds up to me. To, you know, this offense being what it was at least immediately, and I think there's a potential there for the backward step. Of course, they still have Josh. So as long as you have Allen at quarterback, as I just got through saying, when you're one of those few teams that has that kind of talent, you can withstand a lot. And by the way, their defense also has undergone a heavy makeover, especially on the back end.
We're talking to Vic Carucci from NFL Radio. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Vic, we saw last year C.J. Stroud kind of take the league by storm with the Texans. They end up getting to the postseason, winning a postseason game as well. When you look at this class of rookie quarterbacks, and there were quite a few to come in this year, who do you see that can kind of do what C.J. Stroud did for the Texans last year?
Yeah, that is really going to be a fascinating question. I don't know if there's a guy in this entire class that really makes me think, okay, you've got your answer at quarterback. I see this as much as anything as sort of a developmental class. I mean, I've liked things like what Bo Nix showed at college. I like what at the collegiate level. I like Drake May. Again, things that they've done. But if you're asking me body of work, who is going to be, Stroud? And keep in mind, you know, Stroud wasn't the top overall pick, and mm-hmm. he played historically great. So something like that could happen with some of these guys. I would allow for that or believe in that, but I am still of the mindset that this may be the rookie class, even though the numbers were high for total first rounders selected and so forth at the position. I'm not convinced that there is a difference maker, immediate difference maker in this group.
Vic, when you see Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, what's your opinion about them, and who do you think is going to be the quarterback for more games, Wilson or Fields? Because you hear a lot of stuff about Fields that he didn't look good at the OTAs and the minicamp.
Right. Vinny, I heard the same thing, and I know that's been kind of a narrative about him in this offseason. Russell Wilson is more than likely to take, I think, the most snaps, again, on the assumption he's going to stay healthy. But his veteran presence is going to matter a great deal. And let's not forget the Arthur Smith element to this discussion. as the new OC there, and what I think he'll devise design that will take advantage of Wilson's skills and the presence of a running game. With Fields, it feels like he would be more apt to be a package guy, right? Use his skills in different ways physically that he can do things that Wilson can't. I still see a guy that, in his prime, he certainly did a lot of dynamic things and with test defenses and maybe push the envelope more than other quarterbacks would, and he'd find success. He's not that guy anymore, I don't think. And when he's booting out, as he often does, and this is where the Arthur Smith design is, if he's incorporating that or taking that default, I don't say you take away a default setting, but Wilson's not the biggest guy. He moves around to see things. But I do think that Smith can find ways to maybe keep him more in a structured offense that takes advantage of what he does best.
Vic, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you making some time for us today. Enjoy your fourth, and we'll talk again down the line.
My pleasure, guys. Always. Thanks, all the best.
Yep. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll take a trip through the Funhouse with Quick Draw McGraw, see what you guys are talking about on the text line. That's next here on The Fan. Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob here with Vinny Serrato, Quick Draw McGraw. He's behind the glass. We're going until 2 o'clock right here on The Fan. We got some news from the Nest coming up at 12. But first, let's take a trip through the Funhouse with Quick Draw.
Quick Draw's Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
A lot of people chiming in here on the Mark Schlereth comments, as you would imagine. First texter here says, all I know is Lamar has had 1 year in an offense that actually emphasized the pass game, or at the very least, a pro-style scheme that was balanced. The result, an MVP award, a trip to the AFC Championship. Hard to judge what happened before that. He was not as equipped to succeed.
And didn't have a lot of this year, we all agreed that this past year was the best year in terms of the weapons around him.
Right.
And Mark wasn't even there for most of it. But I think that just speaks to what it's been around him leading into this year. And I feel like he's made the most of what's there. Sure, he's missed some passes here or there, and we acknowledge that there's things he needs to be better at. None of these guys are perfect, but I definitely feel like he has elevated the people around him throughout his career.
You're not going to be MVP of the league if you don't.
Right.
You know, I mean, come on. What does MVP stand for? The most valuable player.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, on the field, off the field, the whole thing. I just think that it's kind of a joke that he calls out the MVP of the league.
Another texter here says, can't keep making excuses for Lamar. His shortcomings are detrimental to the team. Can't lead a receiver with the deep ball. Any pass play beyond 20 yards. He just can't. It's not something he possesses.
Well, it's not easily. You can improve. The biggest thing that he needs to do, in my opinion, to improve on his deep ball, get more air under the ball. That's the thing. That's the thing that he needs to work on. I mean, Mike Shanahan, Steve Young was as good a deep ball thrower as there was. And you know what Mike used to do all the time? He'd put a cone down 45 yards, and I want 3 yards, I think, from the sideline. And then Steve, that was his aiming point. And he'd drop back in practice, throw his deep ball and try and drop it on the cone. And then, you know what? The receivers know what his target is. So when they're running a deep route, they know where he's aiming.
I just wish people... I also don't think people understand the uneasiness of playing behind a line where there's just little to no security. I mean, your left, both your tackles are rotating by the series. It's very tough. Like, and I just feel like when you hear people say you can't give him excuses, I don't even think it's about excuses. I just feel like he's the one that has no room for error. If he's not, if he misses a pass, it's blown up. But if somebody misses a block, somebody drops a pass, somebody fumbles a ball, it's all right. But as soon as it's him, it's just very magnified. And I get it. He's the one getting paid. He's the quarterback. But I don't know. I just feel like nationally people kind of blow up what the quarterback does or doesn't do. It's the ultimate team sport for a reason.
Well, I think most would agree that, yeah, it'd be nice if he was better with the deep ball, but I mean, let's be honest here. If Lamar was an exceptional deep ball thrower, does that get them to the Super Bowl last year? Let me rephrase that. Without throwing any deep balls, they could have won the AFC mm-hmm. Championship game last year. That's yep. not the reason they lost that game.
They fumbled.
Yep. Right. So, how about, actually running the ball and you're still in the Super Bowl?
And protecting the ball.
Right. Deep ball is not even a part of it. Last one here from Eric in Bel Air says, the main problem with the Ravens playoff shortcomings is January John. Of course, Ravens fans familiar with January Joe Flacco, who often stepped up in big games in January. Now we're stuck with January John Harbaugh, who panics and chokes on the sideline come January.
Stuck? I mean, you got to give Coach some credit. I've given him his part of the responsibility for this AFC Championship game as well. I mean, he pretty much all but admitted that they were panicking, that they went away from the run because he felt like they just needed to get something quick. They needed to score points. So, yeah, he definitely gets some blame, a lot of it. I think the coaching staff in general gets a lot of it, at least from me. But people act like they're having to settle for John Harbaugh. He's still, in my opinion, one of the best coaches yep. in the league. People lose me with that one.
And did they panic? I think they panicked.
Definitely.
Because they played like they were down 3 touchdowns, mm-hmm. not 1. That's what I... And to start the second half, they ran it a couple times, couldn't get anything, and then they kind of stopped. So did they panic there? They gave up too quick. And maybe because of you went and you got Henry, maybe just because you have that big dude back there, you never give up on the run.
I said it before, I think Henry was signed to kind of save the Ravens from themselves. But yeah. You look at the postseason this past year, their first halves weren't good. I mean, the Texans' first half, that wasn't good. They made the adjustment to get the ball out of Lamar's hands quicker in the second half. That really changed the game. But the changes they made at halftime in that AFC Championship game, either they didn't go out there and do it or they just didn't work.
It worked on one side of the ball.
Yeah. On defense, yeah. It definitely worked. Defensively. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you some news from the Nest. If you want to jump in, 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to talk about what Mark Schlereff had to say. I also saw, and I brought this up on my show Monday, I saw an article on SI.com of them talking about this being a Super Bowl or bust year for the Ravens. So we could talk about whether or not we agree with that as well. That's next here on The Fan. Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob here with Vinny Serrato, Quick Draw McGraw. He's behind the glass. We're going until 2 o'clock right here on The Fan. We got some news from the Nest coming up at 12. But first, let's take a trip through the funhouse with Quick Draw.
Quick Draw's Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
A lot of people chiming in here on the Mark Schlereth comments, as you would mm-hmm. imagine. First texter here says, all I know is Lamar has had 1 year in an offense that actually emphasized the pass game, or at the very least, a pro-style scheme that was balanced. The result, an MVP award, a trip to the AFC Championship. Hard to judge what happened before that. He was not as equipped to succeed.
And didn't have a lot of this year, we all agreed that this past year was the best year in terms of the weapons around him.
Right.
And Mark wasn't even there for most of it. But I think that just speaks to what it's been around him leading into this year. And I feel like he's made the most of what's there. Sure, he's missed some passes here or there, and we acknowledge that there's things he needs to be better at. None of these guys are perfect, but I definitely feel like he has elevated the people around him throughout his career.
you're not going to be MVP of the league if you don't.
Right.
You know, I mean, come on. What does MVP stand for? The most valuable player.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, on the field, off the field, the whole thing. I just think that it's kind of a joke that he calls out the MVP of the league.
Another texter here says, can't keep making excuses for Lamar. His shortcomings are detrimental to the team. Can't lead a receiver with the deep ball. Any pass play beyond 20 yards. He just can't. It's not something he possesses.
Well, it's not easily. You can improve. The biggest thing that he needs to do, in my opinion, to improve on his deep ball, get more air under the ball. That's the thing. That's the thing that he needs to work on. I mean, Mike Shanahan, Steve Young was as good a deep ball thrower as there was. And you know what Mike used to do all the time? He'd put a cone down 45 yards, and I want 3 yards, I think, from the sideline. And then Steve, that was his aiming point. And he'd drop back in practice, throw his deep ball, and try and drop it on the cone. And then, you know what? The receivers know what his target is. So when they're running a deep route, they know where he's aiming.
I just wish people... I also don't think people understand the uneasiness of playing behind a line where there's just little to no security. I mean, your left, both your tackles are rotating by the series. It's very tough. Like, and I just feel like when you hear people say you can't give him excuses, I don't even think it's about excuses. I just feel like he's the one that has no room for error. If he misses a pass, it's blown up. But if somebody misses a block, somebody drops a pass, somebody fumbles a ball, it's all right. But as soon as it's him, it's just very magnified. And I get it. He's the one getting paid. He's the quarterback. But I don't know. I just feel like nationally people kind of blow up what the quarterback does or doesn't do. It's the ultimate team sport for a reason.
Well, I think most would agree that, yeah, it would be nice if he was better with the deep ball. But, I mean, let's be honest here. If Lamar was an exceptional deep ball thrower, does that get them to the Super Bowl last year? Let me rephrase that. Without throwing any deep balls, they could have won the AFC mm-hmm. Championship game last year. That's not the reason they lost that game.
They fumbled.
Yep. Right. So, how about, actually running the ball and you're still in the Super Bowl.
And protecting the ball.
Right. Deep ball is not even a part of it. Last one here from Eric in Bel Air says, the main problem with the Ravens playoff shortcomings is January John. Of course, Ravens fans familiar with January Joe Flacco, who often stepped up in big games in January. Now we're stuck with January John Harbaugh, who panics and chokes on the sideline come January.
Stuck? I mean, you got to give Coach some credit. I've given him his part of the responsibility for this AFC Championship game as well. I mean, he pretty much all but admitted that they were panicking, that they went away from the run because he felt like they just needed to get something quick. They needed to score points. So, yeah, he definitely gets some blame, a lot of it. I think the coaching staff in general gets a lot of it, at least from me. But people act like they're having to settle for John Harbaugh. He's still, in my opinion, one of the best coaches in the league. People lose me with that one.
And did they panic? I think they panicked.
Definitely.
Because they played like they were down 3 touchdowns, mm-hmm. not one. That's what I... And to start the second half, they ran it a couple times, couldn't get anything, and then they kind of stopped. So did they panic there? They gave up too quick. And maybe because of you went and you got Henry, maybe just because you have that big dude back there, you never give up on the run.
I said it before, I think Henry was signed to kind of save the Ravens from themselves. But you look at the postseason this past year, their first halves weren't good. I mean, the Texans' first half, that wasn't good. They made the adjustment to get the ball out of Lamar's hands quicker in the second half. That really changed the game. But the changes they made at halftime in that AFC Championship game, either they didn't go out there and do it or they just didn't work.
It worked on one side of the ball.
Yeah. On defense, yeah. It definitely worked defensively. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you some news from the Nest. If you want to jump in, 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to talk about what Mark Schlereff had to say. I also saw, and I brought this up on my show Monday, I saw an article on SI.com of them talking about this being a Super Bowl or bust year for the Ravens. So we could talk about whether or not we agree with that as well. That's next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.